Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
The last verse of the book of Romans says, "To God alone wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." An exaltation of the wisdom of God in the gospel of Christ. And there are so many things about the gospel of Christ that exalt the wisdom of God that we hardly know where to begin. But I think it is very profitable to consider at least a few of the aspects of the gospel that show God's wonderful wisdom. And one of those aspects is how God managed to overcome the impossibility of mixing justice and grace. Justice and grace. For men, it's impossible to mix those properly. Justice demands that the penalty be paid in full. Grace requires, or communicates the idea that there will be some tempering of justice, some tempering of the full measure of justice. Mercy might be a better term in regard to this, though mercy, I think, probably refers more to the feeling of pity, and grace refers to the action that flows out of that feeling and goes forth to meet the need of the one who is in great need. And so, sometimes it's hard to distinguish between mercy and grace, but whatever we're talking about, I think we understand that mercy and grace stand opposite to justice. How can God be just and be merciful to the sinner? Because God himself has made it clear in the Old Testament scriptures that justice must not be tempered. It must not be abrogated. In fact, he says that if a judge will acquit the guilty, he is just as culpable, just as sinful, as if he has wrongfully punished the innocent. A judge, if he's going to do his job, has to punish the guilty and acquit the innocent, and that's all he can do. Because the law demands that. He might have feelings of compassion and pity for the guilty person, but the penalty of the law must be applied. It's too bad that we don't understand that very well in our system of courts and jurisprudence in America today. We keep trying to mix justice with mercy, and it's impossible for man to do that properly. Whenever you do that, you end up slighting one or the other. If you show mercy to a person who is guilty, then of course you have damaged justice. You have not done justice. The law must inflict the penalty upon the guilty. If the person is guilty, they must pay the price. If you can't do the time, don't do the crime. And if the person did the crime, then he's got to do the time, or he's got to incur the penalty, whatever that penalty may be. And if that doesn't happen, then justice has not been served. Justice has been abrogated. Justice has become injustice. There has been a miscarriage of justice. Well, if that be true, and it is, then no sinner could be saved, because if justice is carried out against the sinner, we all are condemned. We have all sinned. We have all broken the law of God. We are all guilty. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. We must all die. The wages of sin is death, and we are all sinners. So we must all incur the penalty. God, the just judge of all the earth, seemingly cannot abrogate or even mitigate the penalty which is due unto the sinner. But God found a way to do that. God found a way of mixing justice and mercy. And how did he do that? Well, again, he did it in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he did it by offering his own son as a payment in the place of the guilty sinner. Incredible as that is. But that's exactly what we read. We read in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation, payment, as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate, verse 26, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus, that he might be just and the justifier. To be the justifier, of course, is the one who pronounces the sinner justified, not guilty, innocent. And yet, the sinner is guilty of his sins. So how can a just God justify the sinner? Well, he does so in Jesus Christ. In Christ, he demonstrates his righteousness, that he might be both just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And it is because the righteousness of Jesus Christ becomes the sinner's righteousness, the sinner who trusts in Christ, the penalty that Jesus Christ paid upon the cross becomes the payment for the sinner who trusts in Christ, and therefore God has shown the sinner mercy, but he's done it without abrogating justice. It's been a long time now, but years ago, somewhere along the way in school, I read A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. And that illustrates this spiritual truth in a wonderful way. I don't remember all the details, but basically the two cities were London and Paris, and there were two men who looked so closely alike that if they were dressed alike, it was almost impossible to tell them apart, though they were not brothers, they were not related, apparently, but one of them was an Englishman and one of them was a Frenchman, and I forget just how they all got caught up together in the French Revolution, but basically, I think the Londoner was the ne'er-do-well, and there was a noble Frenchman who was sent to prison, was going to the guillotine, and the ne'er-do-well Englishman, who had learned that he looked so much like the other man that he could pass for him, decided to do something noble in his life and to take the prisoner's place, which wasn't going to be very easy because he basically had to break into the prison and get the other man out without the guards knowing what he was doing, because otherwise they wouldn't allow this transfer. But somehow he did it. He disguised himself in the other man's clothes and he got in and he let the other man out. He changed clothes and the prisoner went out looking like the visitor that he was when he came in, and he went to the guillotine and laid down his life in the place of the other man. And if the other man truly was guilty, which actually he wasn't, well, I don't know. He probably was, according to the laws of the revolution that were passed at that time. But at any rate, if he was guilty, he didn't pay the penalty because somebody else took it in his place. And so as far as the French courts were concerned, justice was done. A life had been given. The penalty had been inflicted. Punishment had been meted out. Justice had been served. And yet, the man who was charged guilty by the court went free because somebody else took his place and paid his penalty for him. Well, that's an illustration of what Christ did. It certainly doesn't do it justice. I mean, it doesn't, that's the wrong word when I'm talking about justice and mercy. It certainly doesn't illustrate every aspect of what Christ did, but it does touch upon this wonderful truth that God in his wisdom found a way to mix justice and mercy in such a way that he could extend mercy to sinners who are deserving of eternal condemnation and provide them, secure for them, might be a better way of putting it, eternal salvation, and to do it without harming justice, without mitigating the full extent of justice in any way whatsoever. Who but God could think of that? Who but God could carry that out? That's the wisdom of God. To God alone wise be glory through Christ Jesus forever. I'll tell you another aspect of God's wisdom displayed in the gospel of Christ, and that's what we shall call the childlike simplicity of the gospel. I have labored long and hard on this broadcast, and particularly of late, to show you that the gospel which establishes you is the full gospel of Romans 1 through 11, and that runs pretty deep. A lot of adults have difficulty with some aspects of that gospel, but that is the gospel. All of it, including Romans chapter 9. It's all the gospel, but, a person does not need to know, a person does not need to understand all of that in order to trust in Christ, in order to believe in Jesus and be saved. Many a child has been justified by the blood of Christ without understanding much more than, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, and believing that Jesus died in his place. And that, dear friends, is the simplicity of the gospel. There's a depth to the gospel that I delight in, and I try to do everything I can to encourage people to plummet into the depths, because that will help you. That will establish you. That will give you an appreciation for and an understanding of the gospel that will firmly plant you on the foundation of God's word in a wonderful way. But isn't it also great that we don't have to understand all of that? All we need to understand is that I'm a sinner. Jesus is the perfect Savior. Jesus died on the cross for sinners, and Jesus died for me if I will trust him and him alone for my salvation, not trusting in my works, my merit, my goodness, my anything, but just simply believing that Jesus died for an undeserving sinner like me. I acknowledge myself a sinner. I cast myself upon the mercy of Christ. I believe in him, and I am therefore justified by God. That's pretty simple. It's actually quite profound, too. Even in that simple state, it's more profound than some people realize. But that's pretty simple. Who but a wise, eternally, infinitely wise God could devise a gospel that on the one hand is so deep that many theologians have difficulty understanding and explaining it completely, and on the other hand, a little child can understand enough to believe in Jesus and be saved. Oh, doesn't that show you the source of the gospel? It has to come from God. The nature of the gospel, it is a God-like gospel. Doesn't that show you the wisdom of the God who has made us and who has given us his Son that we might be redeemed? To God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Until tomorrow, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.